Hallelujah. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. And you may have trouble finding that. It's a couple of chapters after, a couple of books after Jonah. Let's see here. It's in the Minor Prophets. About five or six books after Daniel, somewhere in there. The book of Habakkuk. We're going to read chapter 1, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. And I believe that we are living in an age of change. Some people don't like change. Sometimes change can be scary. But if God is on the throne, and if I am his child, then it's okay. It's going to be good. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 5. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told to you. Now, in this passage, he is specifically talking about bringing in judgment against Israel. And that is the context, and one should not massage the chapter to be something it's not. However, this verse by itself, I've always saw it as a promise to me. It really wasn't even bad in Habakkuk's day. Yes, God was going to bring an enemy more wicked than Israel in to punish them, but the idea is there is something coming that is going to blow you away. I mean, you know, if Habakkuk was a hippie from the 60s, he might have written, the word of the Lord came to me and said, something's going to happen that's just going to blow you away, right? I mean, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Now, we are coming up on the Christmas season, and we start beginning after Thanksgiving to think about gifts. I don't know if anybody crazy enough to go shopping on Black Friday? I think most of us have. If you've ever done it once, you seldom do it again. But it is the season where we think about gifts, and I was thinking about gifts. And the Lord reminded me that he is a gift giver. Amen? He is a gift giver. And in fact, he is not only a gift giver, he loves surprises. You know, he loves to surprise us with gifts. I mean, when you think about what grace is, and when you got saved, wow, what a gift. And I don't know if any of you guys were looking for the Lord, but I sure wasn't when I got saved. And it was a surprise gift. I remember picking up a girl in my 1976 Gremlin and saying, where do you want to go tonight, baby? And she said, I want to go to church. And I said, you want to go to what? I wasn't looking for the Lord, but he was sure looking for me. And after going a few services with this girl, I went forward and said yes to Jesus, and what a great gift that was. November 21st, 1979, I just had my 38th spiritual birthday this last week. And so what a surprise gift it was. I mean, I was looking for happiness and joy, and I found it in Jesus. And what a gift it was. And Habakkuk says that, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to do a work in your days which you wouldn't believe even though it was told you. Now I believe that we are in an age where God is getting ready to do some amazing things with the church of Jesus Christ. And there may be some chaos out here in the world. I don't know what's going to happen. It may be like ancient Israel. God may bring an enemy more wicked than us to punish America. America is certainly ripe for punishment. But I got news for you. The church is still here. And if the church is still here, the Antichrist can't rise, according to Scripture. And the Great Tribulation can't start, according to Scripture. Amen? And Jesus' dying prayer was that the church would be the church. Amen? And I got a feeling that his prayer is about to be answered, and I believe that the gift giver is about to bestow some gifts, some surprise gifts, upon the church like the church has never seen before. Amen. In fact, I've said it before. I believe before the Lord comes that the church is going to look just like the church did in the book of Acts. And of course, there was some persecution in the book of Acts. But there's also, you know, shadows healing people and scars healing people and miracles happening and a return to holiness in the church. I believe the Lord is about to give some gifts to the church of Jesus Christ, and I'm ready for them, aren't you? Hallelujah. I want to read from Isaiah 43. This is verses 18 and 19. Remember ye not of the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God said he's going to do a new thing. When God does a new thing, it's a cool thing. It's like, you think that was cool, watch this. You think that was amazing, check this out. You know, what is a river in a desert? That's something you don't expect. It's a surprise present. Walking through the desert thinking, man, if I could just get a thimble full of water. Here comes a river in the desert. Who ever heard of such a thing? God is a gift giver, and his gifts are on their way. They'll spring forth, and you shall not know it. That's why it's a surprise, right? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. 1 Samuel 3:11, the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it will tingle. I love that. Get ready, church. Our ears are getting ready to tingle. Did you hear what happened in Boise, Idaho? They said a revival broke out and thousands got saved. I'm not saying that literally. I'm saying what we could be saying. Did you hear what happened in Tahlequah, Oklahoma? There's a little church called Faith Fellowship with very few members, and all of a sudden God showed up. They were there till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Nobody even knew what time it was. It was the Holy Spirit, and they were all falling out praising God, and next thing you know, there's a pillar of fire above the church, and people start coming in, and people are getting saved. It's going to make your ears, when you start hearing what God is getting, your ears are going to start tingling. You're going to go, are you serious? And there's going to, we talked about the wildfires in California. I believe there's some fires coming, but not that kind of fires. Amen. God is a gift giver, and I believe that the time has come where the gifts of God are going to start manifesting themselves. John Kilpatrick was blessed to experience firsthand the glory of God by the power of the Holy Spirit entrusted to him with the pastoral oversight of the historic Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida. But here's his story of that morning. He gets up, and they're going to do gifts like, what is the Assembly of God, what do they call the girls' program? Daisies and something else, isn't there? Missionettes. And it was all going to be just a, it wasn't going to be a preaching program. It was going to be a ceremony program that morning. He was going to do a little exhortation at the end, but mostly it was going to be handing out these awards to these young girls. And he was discouraged. Does pastors get discouraged? Yes, we do. We all do, don't we? And he was discouraged. Now, this is a man who had seen angels as a child growing up in prayer meetings. This is a man that clearly had the touch of God on his life. And they had been holding weekly prayer meetings, much like we do, for several years. Don't think that God is not keeping track of our prayer meetings. Amen. I ain't stopping. Amen. I'm not stopping. Pardon the bad English. I ain't stopping. And John Kilpatrick is discouraged, and he tells his wife he's going to stay home from church. The pastor. That's how discouraged he was. I don't need to be there. Bob or Bill or whoever the associate pastor was, he can hand out these gifts. And she said, you need to be there. These girls, you're their pastor. You need to give them the award. See, sometimes when God surprises us with a gift, it's right at 11:59. That's why we don't quit. We hold on. Doesn't matter how discouraged you may be. there is a gift of God coming. I said there is a gift of God that is coming, and you are going to receive it. Amen. And his wife says, you need to go. And so he goes, and they begin the ceremony. And then something starts. Some woman over here starts screaming. And he's thinking, what in the world? And then somebody over here like falls out. And then another person starts squealing. And this guy who had his hand blown off in World War II, this old geezer guy there, his hand starts growing back like a sewing machine is sewing the skin. And his hand is just beginning to form one line at a time before their eyes. And you know what God said to him? This happened on Father's Day. He said, Happy Father's Day, son. Woo! Glory to God! The gifts of God are coming back to the church, and we are going to see them with our eyes. Genesis 17, verse 15, God said to Abraham, As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai. As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give her a son also. Give a son to her also. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of a nation. Kings and people shall come out of her. And then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. I got to stop there before I finish reading this. He fell on his face. Now, this is not the laugh of unbelief. This is a John Kilpatrick, I was going to stay home from church today laugh. This is a gift that surprised me, because this is the last thing I was expecting, with her being 99 years old, and you say, I'm going to give you a gift. She's going to have a baby, and it's going to be the father, a whole nation is going to come out of her. And he falls on his face, and he laughs, and he says, shall a child be born to him that's 100 years old, and Sarah, 99 years old? And he's not unbelieving, he's not disbelieving God. He's just saying, wow, God, I thought you had forgot about me. You know, 11:59. I've been praying this prayer for 20 years. I've been standing on this verse for 30 years. I've been doing this for all this time. I thought you forgot about me. And then when you least expect it, the gift of God. And you just can't help but start laughing. Oh, God, this is wonderful. This is so God. This is so amazing. This is so exciting. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. You know, it's not uncommon to have an emotional response to an unexpected gift. Amen? Sometimes they don't come in the form of laughter. Sometimes they come in the... Have you ever known someone that was so happy they cried? Right? I can remember I was probably about 6. My brother had joined the Army, had went to basic training, and you get that brief thing where you get to come back home after basic training before going to your permanent duty station. And of course, you know, you don't always get the phone, and this was years ago when I was 6. We were living in Oakhurst, which the Tulsa World called it the world's largest used car lot, because of all these beat up cars on blocks, very poor community, dirt roads. And we were at the front door, and we had this really long dirt driveway in this house we were in. It was long. It was 3 houses long for some reason, like another lot that would just drove all the way up to the front door. And this car, he had hitchhiked, and some car gave him a ride, and he gets off in his dress greens army, you know, with the billed hat. And my mom screams and goes running down that long driveway and is crying. And the neighbor says, you know, why is she crying? Why are you crying? And I remember wiping her tears away, because I'm happy. You know? We may not laugh like Abraham when all of a sudden God does whatever God's going to do. We may cry. But there'll be tears of joy. Because when you least expect it, bam, a gift from God. My first Christmas as a married man, I was 20 years old years ago in Omaha, Deborah and I had grown up very, very poor. My mother hung up clothes on the line and saved in the winter and saved the dime every week that Dad gave her to dry the clothes at the laundromat to save up enough money to buy me and my sister a barrel of monkeys because we wanted a barrel of monkeys so bad. That's how poor we were. We were very poor. And when you grow up poor, you have this poor mentality that everything is out of reach. Not long after we moved into our house in Fort Gibson, Carolyn came in and saw me crying. She said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I never thought I'd live in a house so beautiful. And think what heaven's going to be like." I digressed. That wasn't the story I was going to tell, but I forgot about that one. It was our first Christmas, Deborah and I together. And I had mentioned how I had always wanted one of those art tables, you know, the kind with the slanty thing and the little light that comes out in the stool. And I was in the Air Force, and she was working at Blue Cross in Omaha. And I never priced them. There was no internet in those days where you could Google and see how much one of those are if you were thinking of buying one. I just knew that they might as well have been $1 million because I had this poverty mentality that I would never have one because I thought they were very expensive. And it was Christmas morning, and we were over at her mom's. We took our presents over there with her mom and her stepdad in Bellevue, Nebraska. And somewhere in a picture box is a photograph of me with that box open, crying, because there was that art table. And I wasn't thinking I was going to cry. I wasn't expecting to cry. It was just a present. But all of a sudden it hit me, and I begin to sob. And her mom said, "Why, Roger's crying? I guess he's so happy. An art table. I got one." And you know what? God's got something in store for us, a surprise present that's coming. And you may laugh like Abraham, or you may cry like that Christmas morning for me so long ago, because it's going to be something you can't even expect or imagine. It's going to be bigger than Abraham having a son at 100 years old. It's going to be something that you never thought you would see in your lifetime, but that's the God that we serve. And even though it looks like when you hear ISIS and you hear all these things and you see what's going on around us and you think the world is going to hell in a handbasket, I'm here to tell you God is still in control. And he's got some gifts for his church. So hold on, church. It's coming. Amen. Glory to God. Now, just a recap of some biblical things. The church, the disciples were hiding behind locked doors. And then, bam, the resurrection. Surprise gift. Even though Jesus had told them over and over and over and over again, they had that it's over mentality. We don't want to have that it's over. Oh, remember the good old days of Pentecost. Remember the good old days when the Spirit of God moved. Remember the good old, you know what? These are the good old days because God is still on the throne. And it may seem like Friday night, but Sunday's coming. There is joy coming in the morning. Amen. And just like the disciples who one day are behind locked doors, fearing their life, and the next day, he's alive. Amen. Don Francisco's song, "He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive." And that's the God we serve. Jesus isn't dead. He's still alive. He didn't go into retirement or is hiding somewhere. He's still alive. And he is still the church. He is still the head of the church of Jesus Christ. And he is coming back very soon, and he has gifts for the church. The day of Pentecost, go and wait. Well, we've been waiting, waiting. Nothing's happened. Keep waiting. When are these gifts coming? I don't know. Any more than they knew it was going to be on the day of Pentecost. But they kept going up and showing up for prayer meeting. And one day, prayer meeting changed. One day, it wasn't your typical prayer meeting. One day, they heard a sound of a rushing mighty wind. One day, they saw cloven tongues as of fire, and they began to speak with one day, the power of God was filling them, and they became evangelists in one day because of the gift of God. So we can't have the poverty mentality. We've got to recognize that God is still God, and there is coming great things for the church of Jesus Christ. Jacob said to the angel, "I'm not letting go till you bless me." I love that statement. That's someone who's not quitting, amen? I'm not quitting, you're not quitting, we're not quitting, we're not letting go till we see a move of Almighty God here this morning. Or even Samson, you know, we talked about people who've blown it, and Eddie would mention how God is compassionate. It doesn't matter if you've been divorced. It doesn't matter if you've done this or that. But look at Samson. He blew it. He's blind, being mocked, ridiculed by the enemy. "God, I wish one last time you'd just give me some more of my power." God said, "Hey, that's a gift I can do, son." Bam! Now, I don't want to pull any pillars down on my head. The point is that it's not over till God says it's over. Amen. And these gifts, sometimes, I said this earlier, they surprise us. You're not looking for it. Moses was looking for the sheep on the backside of the desert. He didn't say, "I think I'll stroll around the backside of the desert and see the presence of God in a burning bush." He's looking for sheep. He's not doing anything spiritual. He's just looking for sheep. See, sometimes we think we got to say all these things and pray a certain way and speak in tongues and jump up and down and shout and holler, and all that's good. But if God says He's going to give you a burning bush experience, He's going to give it to you when you're looking for sheep. You don't have to do anything because it's all God and not any of me or you. I was just going around by my business. That's how I got saved. I wasn't looking for God then. Moses wasn't looking for God, looking for sheep. Found God. Great gift. Take your shoes off, boy. You're on holy ground. Hallelujah. "You want to use me, but I stutter." Doesn't matter. This gift has nothing to do with you. It's all me. Praise God. Gideon was hiding from the Midianites. Hiding down in a ditch where they did the thresh the wheat, and he's asking God why he's not seeing some of the stuff I'm talking about. God said, "Huh, that's a good idea. I guess I'll use you." Aren't you glad He uses people with doubt, fear, and unbelief? Because all of us have had a piece of that pie. And Peter, "Is that you, Lord? Bid me to come to you out on the water." "Hey, angel, watch this. Come." Steps those number 12s out on that wavy water. People criticize him because he took his eyes off Jesus, but I didn't see anybody else getting out of the boat. Hallelujah. And then he said to him, when he took his eyes off and he had to grab him because he's sinking, he said, "Why did you doubt?" You know, I think this message is so timely because sometimes we can get so beat down by not seeing a move of God that we begin to doubt that He is going to move. And Jesus' words to Peter echo in our ears, "Why did you doubt? Just keep praying. My gift is coming. My gift is coming. You will see it with your eyes. You will experience it. Brownsville is nothing compared to what I'm going to do in these last days." I believe God is saying to the church, hang on, it's coming. You're going to see a gift like you have never seen before. Hallelujah. one more example in the Bible. It's when the storm was coming and Jesus was sleeping in the boat. We all know the story. The problem is not Jesus. The problem is me. The storm is not the problem. Here's a storm. Jesus is on the boat. He would have woke up before the boat sunk. He actually expected them to speak to the water, really. You know. The statement that they made, "Don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care? Lord, you see what's going on? I've prayed and asked for healing 50 times. Don't you care?" You know, I go back to the Brownsville revival. Here's a man who has been faithful, and slowly his faith has diminished to where he's saying to his wife, I just think I'm going to stay home today. He's got to where the disciples are. Don't you even care, Lord? It's 11:59. I confess that he's on the throne, but I don't believe he's on the throne. Lord, don't you care? Hallelujah. He cares. The gift is coming. Doesn't matter how many times you've asked and not received. Doesn't matter how many times you've prayed and not gotten the answer you want. Jesus cares. He is still on the throne. He will calm the waters. He will bring revival. The gift is coming. So the real question is, can God do it now? You mean right now? Sure. Can God do it here? Our little church? Here? Yeah. Can God do it now? Can God do it here? Oh, I'm not saying I don't want God doing it out there. I want the big churches to have it too. I want the medium-sized churches. I want the liberal churches to have it. I want the lukewarm churches to have it. I want the churches that say don't talk about prophecy to have it. But can God do it here? See, it's a whole lot easier to believe for other people's healings than it is your own. Have you ever noticed that? Oh, let me pray for you. Next week you got a cold. I don't want to live. I want to die. I feel terrible, right? It's always easier to have faith for somebody else than your own problem. Can God do it now? Yes. Can God do it here? Yes. You mean today? Yes. You mean like in 1 minute? Yes. Could fire come down and split this altar in half? Yes. Do you believe he's going to? Yes. Right now? Yes. Now, you may not, but he can, and I believe it. You don't earn a gift. You don't earn a gift. We didn't earn the gift of grace. It was freely given. And so we don't earn a move of God. We don't earn it. It's a gift. John Kirkpatrick wasn't earning it the day he said, I think I'll stay home. Emotionally, he was bankrupt. His faith was down. And then when the revival began, God said, Happy Father's Day. It was a gift. Do you think God wants to give that same kind of revival that Pensacola, Florida had here? Absolutely. Are we any less spiritual than those people? No. For we are all saved by grace and not by works. We are on an even plane with every believer in the nation. Therefore, God can and wants to give us the same gift here today, now. So let's believe for it. Come on up, Nola. Let's all stand. Ooh, Brother Roger, that was good preaching this morning. Yes, it was. Many of my sermons are birthed out of discouragement and despair. And then I get in the Word. And I begin to say, yeah, Lord, what was wrong with me? You can do that. Yeah, Lord, what was I thinking? You will do that. Yeah, Lord. Why are those people better than us? We deserve a revival. We deserve a move of God. We deserve the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Were those disciples any less spiritual in that upper room? No. They walked with Jesus and didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Lord, we got the Word. We got the Holy Spirit. We know what's going on. We know what time it is. Even so, Lord, let it come. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, before we close, we got to exercise our faith. We got to put off that poverty mentality. Doesn't matter if you were poor. Doesn't matter if you are spiritually poor today. Doesn't matter if you are one of those John Kirkpatrick, I wanted to stay home from church today feelings. God is God. And His gifts are not conditional. That's why they're gifts. Amen. And God wants to do it. And so God wants us to exercise our faith. He wants us to say yes. Lord, we're ready. You know, they say that when that revival in Pensacola, Florida hit, for the people in ministry, it was exhausting. Be careful what you ask for. That it was exhausting. But there was droves of prostitutes, alcoholics, drunks, demon-possessed people that came to Jesus because of the gift of the move of God. And Lord, we want those people saved more than we want our Monday night easy chair. That's what we got to say. We got to be willing to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Be willing to pay the price. If a revival broke out at Faith Fellowship Church, am I willing to be here every night? Am I willing for the discomfort? Am I willing for my feet to hurt or my back to hurt or not have enough sleep in order to see God touch broken, lost people? Now, if you can't say yes to that, then God can't move. But if you want to see that more than you want your comfort, that I want to hear you say yes with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Yes. Yes, Lord. Lyndall Cooley's song. We will ride with you. Yes, Lord. Here. Yes, Lord. Now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This is my desire. How quick can you find that? All right.
This is my desire to honor you. All that I desire is in you. All I have within me gives you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Take every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire to honor. Gives you praise. Oh.
Lord, as we close today, we thank you for the gift of salvation. It is still the greatest gift, Lord. Your love, your mercy, your unmerited favor, that amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, that we're not saved with such corruptible things as silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. And Lord, our faith is still anchored in that cross 2,000 years ago. Lord, we don't want to just be like spoiled children asking for more gifts and not remembering to simply say thank you for our salvation, our secure place with you in heaven. We give you the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. All right.